Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pina, and I'm bringing you today's word for April 11th, 2025. I'm teaching a series entitled How to Live the Grace Life, and I hope that you've been enjoying it. I'm still kind of laying the foundation for this year. Soon, I'm going to start teaching a verse-by-verse walkthrough of the book of Galatians. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the believers in Galatia, and we're going to go verse by verse. It'll take months, but I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. As I've been laying the foundation, I started off the year by teaching you the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, the covenant of the law and the covenant of grace, and how we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace, and what that really means. And now I've been teaching you very practical aspects. I taught you how, grace can give you the power to do this and the power to do that. And then one of the things I've been dealing with lately, the last week or so, is that God provides direction and God gives us the grace to be able to receive that direction. In other words, to hear from Him, right? A question I get all the time is, Brother Pina, Brother Rick, how do I hear from God? And so I'm teaching you the grace to hear from God. This is part three. So parts one and two were the last couple of days. If you missed those messages, go back and watch that. The two messages before that were the grace for divine direction, parts one and two. So that kind of all flowing in the same vein. But today I'm going to get very practical with the grace to hear from God. Let me just make this note though. Next week is spring break for me. And so as we go on spring break, and I'm looking forward to the break, for years when I went on vacation, I still did today's word, the email version, because I've been doing this, since 1997. But it took some years ago that the Lord was like, no, son, it's okay. You could take a break. I do need a break from time to time, and I'm looking forward to it next week. So I will post some videos to go out. You can still tune in at 7 a.m. There's going to be a video. All actually, next week is Holy Week, so I'm going to post some videos related to Holy Week. So you should watch those videos because I'm gonna be dealing with Jesus leading up to the cross. So please tune into those videos on Holy Week. But then after that, I'll be back, right? So, but there will be no emails next week, just videos at 7 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. You ready? So I'm dealing with the grace to hear from God. Put in the chat, I have the grace to hear from God. I want you to open up your heart to be able to hear from God, to discern the voice of God. We have the grace to do it. Say amen to that. Let's get ready for the word. All right, so let's get into it. Listen, I'm going to be very practical today on just some aspects of how to hear from God. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, foundational scripture for this year says this: Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you would have more than enough of everything. Put in the chat, I have more than enough of everything. Every moment in every way, He makes me overflow with abundance in every good thing I do. Say amen to that. I agree with that. That's the word of God. We're going to stand on it. Galatians 5 and 4 says, listen, if you want to be made right with God by fulfilling the obligations of the law, you have cut yourself off from more than just your flesh. You have cut yourself off from Christ and from the revelation of God's grace. You are a law-minded, religious person. You got to be careful not to do that because you're going to be focused on the wrong things. Like I shared with you, even hearing from God becomes difficult when you're religious. When I shared with you that Jesus was standing before people, it's like, yeah, you know the scriptures, and the scriptures testify of the Messiah. And you guys are so religious, you're so focused on the scriptures that I am the Messiah and I'm standing right here and you're rejecting me. You don't even know. Like I came into you, you know the scriptures, but you don't know me, right? And so don't be religious. Don't be that person. Romans 6 and 14 says, sin will no longer be your master because you're not under the law, you're under grace. Say, I am under grace. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10 says, it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. Now, God's grace towards me was not in vain. I did work harder than all of the other apostles, but then again, I can't take credit. It was the grace of God through me. Now, every day I give you some additional scriptures as well. Here are the ones for today. Psalms 119 and verse 18 says this: "Open my eyes to see the miracle wonders hidden in your word." Father, as I want to hear from you, I want you to open my eyes to see the miracles that are in your word. While I'm reading the word, you can open my eyes so that I can see the voice behind the voice and the word behind the word. Say amen to that. Job 33 verses 14 through 16 says this: "God speaks to people in ways that they don't understand. He may speak to them in a dream or in a vision of the night when they are in a deep sleep, lying in their beds. He speaks in their ears and it frightens them with warnings," right? So in other words, he was saying God can speak to us in a myriad of ways. And I've been sharing that with you over and over again. But there's some scripture evidence there. 1 John 4 and 1 says this: "Delightfully loved friends, don't trust every spirit, but carefully examine what they say to determine if they are from God." Everything that you hear in the spirit doesn't mean that that's the Holy Spirit. Don't trust everything. When people come to you and say, "I got a word from the Lord for you," I listen, but that doesn't mean I have to receive it, right? God will tell you which ones to receive, which ones to reject, and which ones to respond to, right? So carefully examine, John says, to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are many people out here prophesying and they're prophelying. And so you need to make sure that you don't just receive everything. Oh, Brother Pena, can I talk to you for a minute? Rick, Brother Rick, the Lord woke me up the other night and gave me a word for you. Okay, all right, bring it on. I'm listening. I'm a listen, but that doesn't mean I have to receive it. I listen and I want to know, is this something that's a word of confirmation? Is my spirit going to confirm what this person is saying? Or this person is actually saying something that's confirming what the Holy Spirit is saying to me? Or is this out of left field? If it's out of left field, listen, I don't know. It's one of those like, okay, Lord, we'll see. We will see. Let's let time see if this was a word from the Lord or not. But I'm just not going to receive something just because you say God said. No, it don't work like that. Colossians 3 and 15 says, "Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the anointed one." See, that's another one. When God gives you a word and you know it's from God, you have an overwhelming peace. That's why Isabella and I, we don't make any major decisions if we don't have peace. So he says, listen, let your heart be guided by peace. Let peace be your umpire. The one who called you, watch this, to peace as one in his body, and then always be thankful. So the peace of God, when I get a word from the Lord, I'm going to have a peace about it. If I don't have a peace about it, I don't know about that. It's a check in my spirit. So we've been learning how to discern the voice of God, how to hear from God, how God speaks to us. How do we know that it's God? How do we examine these things? All of these things, right? And I'm gonna flow in that vein again today, and I'm gonna attempt to be very practical. I want you to be able to recognize God's voice, receive, know what to receive, know what to reject, know what to respond to. Say amen to that. All right. So this should be part of our everyday lives. I know a lot of people ask me all the time, Brother Rick, how is it? Like, you know, is it an audible voice? No, I personally have never heard an audible voice, but it's knowing down in your knower, right? It's an internal manifestation of God's word. It's a thought that you get that you know, hey, this didn't come from me. It came from God, but you have to learn how to discern that. So what does this mean for you today? I have four things to share with you this morning. I'm going to try to take my time so I can really teach this. Let's get into it. Number one, grace helps us to distinguish God's voice from all of the other voices. Put in the chat, I can distinguish God's voice from all of the other voices. We live in a noisy world today, filled with countless voices that are vying for our attention. And unfortunately, we're raising a generation that, you know, I'm not going to say they have ADHD. I'm saying they have the characteristics of ADHD, meaning that we're raising a generation like I used to get on one of my kids and be like, "Hey man, you're studying. Why is the TV on?" "Well, I can't study if the TV is not on." What? Like, I'm listening to music. Yo, turn that off so you can focus. Oh, Dad, I can't focus like that. I need to have all these other things going on. That's not good. Like, it's going to be hard for you to hear the voice of God with all of this mess going on, right? It's like people today can't go a few seconds without looking at a screen. And it's going to be hard for you to distinguish the voice of God if you're just constantly listening to everything. Another thing that one of the reasons why people have all this challenge with just being still is because people are not at peace with themselves. There are people that are by themselves, and when they turn everything off and they just get in the room with them and God, they're not at peace because they don't have a peace. They don't even like themselves. As a born-again believer, I want you to walk over to the mirror and love and like what you see. Say that. Say, I believe what God believes about me, and I love and like what I see. I love myself. I can't love other people if I don't love myself. Jesus said, listen, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10 and 27. And so if that's the case, you got to stand on that word. Be like, Lord, I'm supposed to hear your voice. I need to hear your voice. I want to walk with you. So hearing the voice of God, here's one thing you could do. I've shared this with you already, but I'm going to reiterate it. One way to know that what you heard came from God is, does it line up with the Bible? Now, I can't check it against the Bible if I don't know the Bible, right? So you need to know the Bible first. So then I can check it against the Bible. If you get a prompting and that prompting does not line up with Scripture, then newsflash, that's not the Holy Ghost. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Brother Rick, can I talk to you for a minute? Yes. What's up? Oh my God. What's up? Oh my God. What? I just saw this girl today. The Lord told me that's my wife. And I look at that joke and be like, don't you have a wife? Well, yeah, but I think I married the wrong person. So the Lord told me that's my wife. No, dude, you're married. If you're already married, then you heard a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you contrary to the Word of God. People say the dumbest things. Like, what are you talking about? So, no, first of all, you need to check what you heard against the Word of God, right? The Word of God contains the character, the attributes, and the nature of God. And so, the more Word of God you know, the better you will know the God of the Word. So, when you hear something, I need to check it against the character, the attributes, the nature of God, and all of that is found in the Word of God. So, the more Word of God I know, the more apt I will be to recognize His voice. Say amen to that. All right. All right. God's voice, let's keep going. God's voice often carries a unique sense of peace. This is this peace that I'm talking about, right? Paul calls this a peace of God that transcends all understanding. I'm not talking about peace with God. That's if you're born again, you have peace with God. I'm talking about the peace of God. You can be born again and have peace with God and then not have the peace of God. When you get a word from God, you get this supernatural peace that transcends all understanding. And this peace often comes with genuine communication from God. When you get a word from God, you have peace. Say amen to that. God's voice is another thing. God's voice builds up, not tear down. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 says, prophecy says this about prophecy, speaks to people to strengthen their understanding, to encourage them, and to provide comfort. The King James Version says it should come for edification, right? Even when God is, so let me be clear, even when you get a prophetic word that corrects you, even the correction should build you up. When God corrects you, He corrects you in such a way that He's leading to restoration and hope, not condemnation and shame. So if you get a word, let me just say it this way. I'm gonna be brutally honest here. I know people that operate in the prophetic. God has used me to prophesy many times, but I'm not gonna say that I'm a prophet. I don't, necessarily. But I know that people operate in the prophetic. And unfortunately, some of the people that I know that operate in the prophetic very strong are just nasty people. Like, I mean, like their character is just, their disposition is wrong. And so sometimes their humanity gets in the way. So they did hear something from God, but they don't deliver it the right way. When you get a word from the Lord, it should build you up. Even if it's correcting you, it should build you up. Even if it's correcting you, it should usher you towards restoration and hope, not condemnation and shame. Say amen to that. That's a whole word right there for somebody. Another thing, The enemy's voice, a lot of times, pushes you to urgency, to be rash in action. The devil wants to push, oh my God, I gotta do this right now. You ever had somebody that call you, oh, I gotta do this right now. Oh my God, oh, Dad, Brother Pina, Brother Rick, oh my God, I need to do this right now. And I slow down. When you get a word from the Lord, you don't need to be like doing that. What are you doing? Like, slow down. Isaiah 28 and 16 reminds us that whoever believes will not act hastily. Listen, if I'm believing, if I got a word from the Lord, I don't need to be rushing. Hold on. Like, if God's got me, God's got me. I don't need to make a decision in 5 seconds. If God already got me, God gave me a word. What I want to do is I want to flow with the promptings from God, not the pressure from Satan. Oh, say that. Put that in the chat. Say, I flow with the promptings from God, not the pressure from Satan. See, the promptings from God are leading me. The pressure from Satan is pushing me. And what I don't want to do is succumb to that pressure. Put in the chat, I refuse to succumb to that pressure. No, I let the Holy Spirit lead me, not let Satan push me. He's always pushing you. You got to do this. Oh my God, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. You got to do this. Oh, Brother Pina, I need help right now. Slow down. If you trust God, you wouldn't be freaking out. Like, how about we just calm down and we hear the voice of God, and the Lord will lead us concerning what to do. If God is still God, calm down, right? Say, calm down. God is still God. All right. Another thing is that when you get a word from the Lord, it's going to push you out of your comfort zone. And sometimes a word from you is going to try to keep you in your comfort zone. Remember, you get thoughts from God, Satan, and yourself. And so you got to figure out, okay, is this from God or is it from me? Well, one of the ways to know it's from God is that God's word is always going to push you in an environment where it requires his involvement. And a lot of times a word from us is going to try to keep us in our own comfort zone. Abraham was called to leave everything that he knew. Moses was called to go confront Pharaoh. Mary was called to receive Jesus in her womb at the risk of looking foolish and dealing with Joseph and all of that. All of these things are going to push you out of your comfort zone. That's one way to know that it's God. God is always pushing you out of your comfort zone. And then a word from yourself, is going to try to keep you in your comfort zone. All right. So, and then lastly, let me say this about this first point. Sometimes people come with a word from God for you, and they may be well-intentioned, but people make mistakes. Put in the chat, people make mistakes. The prophet Nathan went to David. This is in the Bible, y'all. The prophet Nathan went to David and said, whatever you have in mind, David, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. This is 2 Samuel 7 and 3. And David was like, yes, I want to build the temple. Man, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And that night, the Lord went and corrected Nathan and said, Nathan, what are you doing? That wasn't me. You see, sometimes people just say a word from the Lord because they want it to be true. But he was a prophet and he messed up. And so he got corrected. And the next day he had to come back and be like, David, my bad. That was me. That wasn't God. God says you can't build the temple. You are a man of war. Your son is going to build the temple, but it's not going to be you. See, sometimes people will give you a word that sounds like God. They'll even use King James English to make it sound holy and all that, but it might be them. It might not be God. So you got to make sure that you're getting a word of confirmation for yourself. The grace of God is on you to distinguish between religious sounding advice and really a word from God. Those are not the same thing. Sometimes people just give you advice and it's not a word from God. It's a word from them. Now, lastly, when you are living the grace life and you're not striving and you're resting, you are more apt to hear the Lord because you're not stressing out. Say amen to that. Say, I can hear from God. Put this in the chat. I hear from God because I'm not stressing out. All right. All of that was just one. Oh my God, I got three more to go. Number two, grace teaches us where and how to listen to God's voice. So sometimes, yes, hearing God's voice is about distinguishing his voice from others, but it's also about positioning yourself to hear from God clearly, right? And so you want to be able to have habits that create an environment where you can hear the voice of God, right? You want to create a space, like we have a prayer closet or prayer room in our house, but You want to build a routine to where you train your body and you train your spirit to say, when I'm here, Lord, speak to me. A lot of times this happens to me in the car. I don't know what it is about the car for me, but when I'm in the car. So you want to create environments, or you want to create a routine, or you want to create a process where you tune out everything else, where you say, okay, Lord, I'm positioned to hear. And this stillness often creates a space for you to hear from God clearly. Psalms 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. So you got to be still. This, I told you that a lot of people today don't want to be still. They don't even like themselves enough to be still. But you got to get over that. You got to rest in God's grace, rest in who you are, be still and know that God is God, and let God speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit. It is spirit-to-spirit communications. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, matter of fact, beginning at verse 9, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the good things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed that unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. No man knows the spirit of the thoughts of a man, save the spirit of the man be in him. In other words, Paul was saying, you can't know my thoughts because my spirit, you don't have my spirit. If you have my spirit, you will be able to know my thoughts, but I can't put my spirit in you. And let me just use an example. Gail Marshall Wells. Gail Wells is from New York like me. Gail. And so let's say I could put, if Rick could put Rick's spirit inside of Gail, and Rick's spirit would be in Gail, and Rick's spirit would be in Rick at the same time, then Gail would have Gail's spirit, and Gail would have Rick's spirit, and then Gail would have thoughts that come from Gail, and Gail would have thoughts that comes from Rick. And she would know what I'm thinking because my spirit is in her. Now, I can't put my spirit in her, but God can. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, God gave us his spirit so that we would know the things that come from him. And so God gave us his spirit so that we could communicate with him spirit to spirit. So God communicates with us spirit to spirit. And when he does, it is not with our understanding. So 1 Corinthians 2 says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. So when God tells you something spirit to spirit, a lot of times it's not going to make sense. You got it? It doesn't have to make sense. You have to believe it by faith. Another thing is that when you're praying, prayer should be a two-way communication. It should be a dialogue, not a monologue. Remember when Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's 1 Samuel 3 and 10. And then the Lord spoke. A lot of times when people pray today, what they're doing is saying, listen, Lord, for your servant is speaking. Right? You see the difference? Instead of saying, speak, Lord, for I'm listening, people are like, listen, Lord, because I'm talking. I'm praying and I'm doing all the talking when I'm praying. No, you don't want to do that. Oh, leave a space for God to speak to you. And then the last thing I'll say from this point is corporate worship is important. You ever been somewhere where there's corporate worship, where you are in an environment where everybody is worshiping the Lord? You're able to hear from God more clearly there, right? In Psalm 67, it says this. This is not in my notes, but let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then will the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us, and all the earth shall praise him. When you are in an environment where everybody's praising God, it's more easy to hear from God. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that while they collectively, while the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Spirit spoke when they were worshiping and when they were fasting. See, when you are in the presence of other people and everybody's praising God and everybody's worshiping God, it is an environment for you to hear from God more clearly. Say amen to that. All right, number three. I know I'm going a little bit long today, but I'm going to Mexico next week, so I need to give you this word. You ready? Number three. God's grace can help us to remove the barriers that prevent us from hearing God's voice. In other words, the grace of God can help us to remove the blessing blockers. Put in the chat, I remove every blessing blocker. What I want to be able to do is hear from God. And so I need to remove anything that's going to get in the way of that, right? So what are some of those things? Guilt, shame, condemnation, unbelief. Well, guess what? The grace of God helps you with all of that. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered us from the law of sin and death. So there's no, I have no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. So that just me resting in the grace of God helps to remove all of that so I can hear God's voice. Another blessing blocker is unbelief. In Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says that Jesus could not do many great miracles there because of their unbelief. It doesn't say that he didn't want to. He wanted to, but he could not. And so unbelief is a blessing blocker. But when you're living the grace life and you're resting in God's grace, you can remove that blessing blocker. Another blessing blocker is busyness, right? The burden of busyness. And so say this, when I live the grace life, put this in the chat, I'm delivered from the burden of busyness. The grace of God gives me, I can give myself the permission to step away from the bondage and the burden of busyness to create a space to slow down and hear from God. In the middle of a busy day, because I'm living by grace, I could just stop everything, go sit in that chair right there and open up my heart and let the Lord speak to me. Why? Because I'm delivered from the burden of busyness. I don't have to be busy all day. I'm not striving in human effort. I'm looking unto God. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. The grace of God can help you to remove all the distractions, right? The cares of this world. In Luke 8 and 14, the Bible says that the cares of this world, it is the love of money, the lust of the flesh, the cares of this world, it chokes out the word. And so I want to get rid of the cares of this world. I want to get rid of the lust for other things. I want to open up my heart to God's grace so that I can hear from God more clearly. Say amen to that. These are all things that I got to remove, all these blessing blockers. And then lastly, number four, last thing I'll give you for today. And then I'll be gone next week. Grace gives us confidence that we have heard from God. See, that's one of the things is you want to be able to have confidence. A lot of believers struggle, like Brother Pena, I don't know if this was God or not. God helps you to have confidence. God loves you so much that he will work with you to have the confidence. Remember Gideon? And Gideon was like, oh, I don't know. Can you make this wet and make this dry? Okay, he did it. Okay, can you make this dry and make this wet? Okay, he did. Okay, Lord, can you see, God gives, I'm not saying you should do that to God, but I'm saying he loves us so much that he will work with us to confirm his word through multiple sources. God will give you a dream. And then God will have your cousin to call you and say, God told me to tell you. And then you go to work and something happens. And all of these things become confirmation for an inner witness. I remember a series of things that happened to me in 2013. There's a word that I've been standing on since 2013. And whenever Isabella talk and I talk about it, I go, well, it had to be God because there was so many things that happened. Like for God to get me to that point. This person said this to me. This person said this to me. This person said this to me. I was in North Carolina. This person walked up to me, doesn't even know me, said this to me. And all of these things were confirming what the Lord was saying to me. See, God will go out of his way to give you a word of confirmation so that you can have an inner witness so that you know that you heard from God so that you could be confident. Because sometimes, like me, God said it in 2013 when 2025 and it hasn't happened yet. If you know that you heard from God, you can stand on it and you cannot let go. You got to be able to hear. You got to be able to believe for the long haul. And watch this. When you have confidence with, let me say it this way. The grace of God will give you confidence even when you mess up. Remember when Peter, when it was the Garden of Gethsemane and they came they were coming to arrest Jesus and Peter pulls out a sword and cuts Malchus's ear off. And Jesus was like, what's wrong with you, dude? He picks the ear up, puts it back on his head and he corrected him, right? So sometimes even when you make a mistake because we're living by the grace of God, God can restore you. Jesus had to restore Peter because Peter was the person that was supposed to preach the first sermon and 3,000 souls were added unto the church. John 7 and 17 says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether or not the teaching actually comes from God. So if you have chosen to do the will of God, God is going to find a way to make sure that he confirms that to you. God is going to find a way to make sure that the fruit of it, the fruit will bear witness that you actually heard from God. You will know them by their fruit, and you will know if you heard from God by the fruit that it produces. So lastly, as I close, slow down, be patient, know that God is going to speak, know that God is going to give you a word of confirmation, and God will do whatever he needs to do to get you to the point where you are convinced. Remember, faith is not you convincing God. Faith is what happens when God convinces you. when you are fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able also to perform. Say amen to that. Let's close this message out with a declaration of faith. Lift up your voice and say this. Say, Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. You enable me to clearly distinguish between your voice and every other voice. I declare that I am positioned to hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Your grace removes every blessing blocker. I'm free from guilt, shame, and unbelief. I'm free from the bondage of busyness. I hear your voice. I get a word of confirmation. I see the fruit of it, and I can stand for the long haul. I know that every word you have spoken to me shall come to pass in the fullness of timing. I'm living the grace life, and greater is coming for me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word, so please apply it and prosper. If you're not getting these messages, please go to todaysword.org, click on the big red subscribe button, put in your email address. You're going to get all my notes in your email inbox every day for free. Listen, I love you. God loves you more. I want you to have an amazing week next week. I ask you to pray for me and pray for the Dominican Republic. And then I need you to do three things. Listen, this is something, I know this message went a little bit over than what I normally do, but I needed to get that out. And I pray that this message bless you. So three things. Number one, leave me some comments in the chat if this message was a blessing to you. Number two, share this message on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. Number three, listen to this outro video. There's some information in here for you. I love you. I'll see you when I get back. God bless you. If our ministry is a blessing to you, please consider becoming a partner with Rick and Isabella Pena Ministries. Not only will you support the Word of God going out on a daily basis, but you will also support our school in the Dominican Republic, where we are providing 200 Haitian children a Christ-based education free of charge and also a hot meal every day. If you want to become a partner with us, go to ripministries.org and you'll be able to do so there. If you don't have any of my materials, well, let me just show you a few things. Well, this is my first book, Level Up Your Life, where I cover how to level up your life in five areas of your life. Here's Grace-Based Success. It's a daily devotional where in 28 days, you'll be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's two affirmations books, one for men and one for women. These books will help you to align your faith, your heart, and your lips with the Word of God. Or just go to rickpena.co. You'll see all the books there, apparel. Please make yourself available to those materials. They will be a blessing to you. Lastly, Isabella and I have been committed to coaching and mentorship for many, many years, and the Lord led me to use a platform where I could do it online, where we could leverage ourselves and scale. So now we have over 600 videos and continuing to grow. We're recording videos on a weekly basis where we're covering how to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and how to be successful as a Christian and in business and with relationships and etc. So if you're interested in that, please go to patreon.com/Rick Pena. You will be blessed. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you.